It's B-Maz and Beamer. Now, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yes, yes. Welcome back. B-Maz and Beamer here on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski with you, and so is my good friend Joe Beamer.
Back
in the studio.
Great to be back on the B-Maz and Beamer show.
I'm glad to have you back, Joe. It's going to be a fun... we're back together for what, 3 days?
3 days, which is a long stretch for this show.
That's a record. Well, glad to have you here. And, you know, it's the week after the holiday week. I don't know, but July 4th through Labor Day, I mean, that's the summer. That's the summer malaise.
Yeah, a lot of mailing it in between now and Labor Day.
You know, that's what I was going to say,
yes.
I didn't want to go that far.
I'll say it for you. Yeah.
You know what I mean out there. Come on. It's the type of that time of year where you're just kind of, even if you can't mail it in, you're at least thinking about it. You wish you could.
That's right.
But no, it's a fun time. Hope everyone had a great holiday weekend. It was great weather for it. And I was watching the hot dog eating a little bit yesterday because, you know, we had Ronnie Hartman on.
That's
Megabyte
right.
Ronnie.
20th in the world.
Local guy. Competitive eater. He was back there at Coney Island yet again for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Finished 15th, I believe. 25 hot dogs, so pretty impressive.
I find 25 to be very impressive.
Not, you know, near the top, though, unfortunately, because the winner, again, Joey Chestnut, who eats 63 hot dogs. 15th straight year that he wins this competition. It's unbelievable. He did so with only 1 foot. He had a cast around his leg. Yep. He was on crutches. And he choked out a protester who jumped on the stage.
It might be his most impressive victory.
It was the greatest.
Yeah.
It was the best. I mean, number 15, you're thinking, this is getting a little stale. Is there any young blood to come in? No. What does he do? Shows up with 1 foot and knocks out a protester on the stage.
Yeah.
And continues to crush 63 hot dogs.
I mean,
that's impressive.
He 15 years ago, he came out of nowhere. Who was the competitive eater that was really popular before him?
Kobayashi.
Yes. And then it's people have forgotten about him. I mean, it's all Joey Chestnut all the time.
It's Kobayashi's really like the I'm trying to think of like who to compare this to in other sports. Like he's the innovator. Like, Kobayashi is, like, the first guy to throw the forward pass in football.
Oh, okay, yes.
And Joey Chestnut
perfected it.
Yeah, Joey Chestnut is Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, the way it goes.
I like that.
It's, you know, Kobayashi was Gordie Howe, and Joey Chestnut's Wayne Gretzky.
There you go.
You just paved the way for him, showed you how to choke down a couple of hot dogs really fast.
Now, in competitive eating, now you were talking to Ronnie last week, in competitive eating, when does age start to play a factor? You know, because you think of athletes, right? Late 30s, you know, mid-late 30s, they start slowing down. When does the ability to cram 63 hot dogs, when does age start stopping that or slowing that down?
Or do you get better because your stomach stretches out over time?
That's a good point.
I mean, time will tell.
Yes.
We'll find out. But congratulations to Joey Chestnut. But Joe, I was saying earlier today, I figured this out yesterday. And next to, you know, competitive eating isn't for everybody. There should be a stage next to the hot dog eaters that's like for dads. And it's hot dog peelers. And it's just all of, what are you chewing?
I got something. I'm sorry. I should turn my mic off. It's been a week and a half.
What's going on here?
I didn't think anyone could hear that. Go on.
It should be hot dog chewers or peelers, not chewers.
Right.
But that's, it's like dads peeling the hot dog for your kids. How many, like, you know, very hot dogs can you peel the skin off of in 5 minutes? And that's the competition. For like that should be the Father's Day competition instead of July 4th.
Yeah, I like that one. Or not five. How about in the time that takes Joey Chestnut to finish 63, how many hot dogs have you peeled?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go right alongside.
I actually think that should be in the middle of the lemonade contest and the hot dog contest.
I forgot there's a lemonade contest,
yeah,
too.
That was very interesting to watch as well.
They just, you know, gallon of lemonade.
Yeah.
Just down the hatch.
Like, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, keep it up there. Just how many hot dogs can you peel? Because that's, like, to me, that's the father skill that I've perfected over the past year or so. Just being able to take that hot, like, off-the-grill hot dog, your fingers are burning.
Yeah.
But still be able to really quickly de-skin the hot dog, rip it apart, put it on a plate, here you go.
Clean like, peel?
No time flat. If you're really good at it, you can do it all in one. Usually doesn't end up that way. Sometimes because, you know, people will, they like to pretend they're at, you know, Ted's or something, and they chop up the hot dog when it's on the grill. And so sometimes you'll, you know, peel it and you'll actually, you'll end up ripping the hot dog because someone kind of like cut through the hot dog a little
bit. Someone's getting a little too fancy.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly work out. But I think I would be good at that. Is there something else? 803-0930 to join myself and Joe Beamer this morning. And you can let us know. There's got to be something that you can compete in. I'm not talking competitive eating. But you look at these people on the stage, and it's talked about every single year. It's on ESPN every year. Millions of people are tuning in every year to watch people eat hot dogs. Like, are you kidding me? It's the stupidest thing ever. So you got to have something that you're good at that you say, listen, if people are going to tune in to watch someone eat a bunch of hot dogs, maybe I can get this to be the next big competition. You know, for me, I think hot dog peeling, right? Hot dog peeling. I can peel this many hot dogs in 5 minutes. And you know what? If people will watch someone eat a hot dog, maybe they can throw this on TV too.
Yeah.
What is that for everybody else out there?
I would say for me, it's something I do every morning. It's called, before I start working, of course, it's called Hurdle, and they play a second of a song, and you have to guess the song. I'm very good at that, and if that was a competition, I feel against a group of people, I could name more songs quicker than the other group of people.
They just play like a blip?
Yeah, they play a blip, and then, you know, on Hurdle, it's you can name it in a second, or you just press skip and skip. If you don't get it in 10 seconds, you didn't win this game.
I feel like I could actually make, like, the more I think about this, it's just I would be making, like, a summertime dad Olympics.
Yes.
With the events, and it would be peeling the hot dog. It would be, everyone would have to have, like, the same weight of kid, but how many times in a row can you, in a pool, throw your kid up in the air and, like, catch him and splash him down the water?
Ooh.
Like, just, like, over, no pauses. So it's just, like, the ultimate shoulder workout. You're just throwing up, catching, coming back down. Throwing up, catching, coming back down. You have to catch him each time. How many times in a row can you do that?
In a big Olympic pool.
Yeah, so any pool. Just, yeah. I mean, that's, like, event number two. Event number three, cut the grass. I don't know. You know, this is a work in progress.
Yeah. But
those would be my two things that I think I could do well at.
Mow the grass with a standing lawnmower would have to be the competition, because there's already the sitting lawnmower races on ESPN.
Oh, yeah, regular lawnmower.
Yeah, regular lawnmower.
Yeah. You have to cut the grass. The lawnmower races are just like races, though.
Right.
This is like a race. You have to cut everything.
Right.
And trim everything, too.
But I feel the bigger competition is you got to be walking with the New Balances on.
You got to be walking, and you have to actually cut some grass.
Yes.
You can't just ride this thing around and go fast. I have to see that. So there was some work, right? There was some work done there. But I don't know. That's mine. I think you could throw Dad Olympics on some point in the summer. I mean, what was on after hot dogs?
Well, they replayed the lemonade contest, and then I think cornhole was on.
Cornhole, spike ball, like all those backyard games. Like,
there was a baseball game at some point yesterday.
I think you could throw on Dad Olympics, Dad Summer Games.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, ESPN News has really become the Ocho. So we could probably just find something to put on there.
You ever watch the lumberjack competitions?
I can't say that I have.
Oh, those are the best. I have, like, immense respect for all those people who do that. I mean, you just got to have the biggest shoulders in the world it's like chopping down logs in, I don't know, 20 different ways. There's one you have to saw, you have to stand on top of one and, you know, hurl it with
Sounds
an axe
intense.
And cut it. You have to, you know, side chop one with an axe and get it cut down. You have to do all these different things and chop wood in, like, that amount of time. There's chainsaw but you have to like keep doing it. It would be unbelievable. Someone says sunscreening your kids, and then yeah, and then it would be judged after like 2 hours. You see how well you can do it.
Right.
You can't like do it. You'd have to do
no spray sunscreen.
You'd have to do a timed sunscreen.
Yes.
To begin with, how fast can you do it? And then at the end of 2 hours, you see, and for each square inch of red on your kid, that's a second to added to your time.
Yes. Not a second deducted.
Yeah. The second added to your time. I like that at the end of the day. There you go. We got three events already.
I'd be all for that.
I like it.
I mean, I'd watch it. I can't compete, but I would watch it.
Yeah. I think I feel like another event that's going to take place here, we should do. It's going to be a new show. Now, there's a lot of these shows out there. House Hunters was the one that was like the first to the scene. Everyone loved House Hunters. You get to look at other people's houses.
Right.
Then there's a million like Property, Fix It Up. We're brothers and we fix up houses. We're Canadians and we fix up houses. Right. We're, you know, anything under the sun and we fix up a house and it's a miracle transformation. Hey, we'll fix up your backyard. Hey, we'll do this on a budget. Hey, we're married and have kids and we fix up a house. You know, all these shows, they're the same thing.
We'll get your neighbors to come fix up your house.
Yeah. That's the whole neighborhood fixes up a house. We send you to Disney. So that show's been done like a million times before.
Right.
The new one is it's House Hunters mixed with Trash TV that my wife watches now. It's on Netflix. She's addicted to it. And it's just, it's like the, it's like Housewives meets House Hunters.
Really?
Yeah. When it's just all these people who you'd never want to share 2 minutes with in your life sell houses. And that's the worst people in the world sell houses, and there's an hour show. But anyways, these shows are very popular, Jeff.
Yes.
I think the next big one is going to be not houses, but office space.
I think you're right.
It's like, here you go. We have 50,000 square feet of office space. I'm going to figure out, I'm a Canadian, or I'm a family, you know, or this is a neighborhood.
I'm in the office next door.
Yeah, and we're going to figure out how to best use this. Like, what's the best reuse for this office space that no one's going to actually use to work anymore?
There's going
to
be a lot of empty space to be doing those shows. Because one by one, Brian, offices are deciding, you know what? We don't really need to be in the office 5 days a week. And as we've seen here at Odyssey, we don't really need that space. Let's put up a wall.
Yeah. That's. But then what do you do with that space?
Exactly.
I mean, that's a big question. So for people out there, I mean, what does it look like? If you're an office worker, what does it look like in your office today? I mean, today would be very interesting, right?
Yeah.
How many people just took the week off?
What did your office look like at the end of May before people started taking summer vacation?
What does it look like and what's going to happen in the future of it? Because there's so many of these spaces that just no one uses anymore. The stories are all over the place. And I feel like there's got to be a good reuse for some of this office space.
Yeah.
Here's one, you know, pop off the, you know, top of your head answer. Wedding venues. Joe, you've gotten married recently.
Yes.
It wasn't too long ago I was getting married. It was crazy trying to find a venue for the wedding if you want to, you know, not have it at your home, to try and find a wedding venue that wasn't one, ridiculously expensive,
right?
Which they're all, you know, you're not going to find one, but two, available, right? Because there's only so many spaces and people are getting married all the time, and there's only 2 days of the week that people want to get married.
That's another issue. Yes.
One day, really. Saturday.
Yeah.
And the other days are like, yeah, you know, we'll do it, but give me a discount.
Friday's nice. Sunday, I've been to Sunday weddings when you had to work on Monday. Let me tell you.
I mean, this Sunday would have been nice.
Yeah, a holiday Sunday.
Off. But aside from that, it gets a little rough. So what you could do with all this office space is redo it into a wedding venue. And here's the greatest thing about that is you don't, you know, say it's us. You don't have to sell that off to somebody else. A wedding venue, I feel like it's very simple to do things the right way. Whatever your company is, whether it be this company that we work for or Kinko's, I feel like you can kind of pull it off.
I think
so. A wedding event space.
Yeah.
They're bringing in their own
Everything.
Pretty much everything. DJ.
Yep.
But, you know, all you have to do is get some fancy lighting, which we've shown here. We can do that, like, in a day's notice. Get some mood lighting.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't take on that. Light up the pillars that are inside the office. Make it look pretty nice. Drag in some tables and chairs.
Yep.
You have a space set up for a DJ and a dance floor and for everybody to eat.
That's right.
And
late night snacks, we have a vending machine.
There you go. You're there.
Yeah.
So there's, office rescue number one. Just turn it into a wedding venue. And you'll probably be booked most Saturdays throughout the summer.
Right. People are looking. I'll tell you one that you know, everyone always jumps to, oh, why don't we make it into mixed use, into housing? Well, eventually, you know, there's too much office space to make every empty office building a hotel or apartments. You know what I mean? Like, yes, that's been done, and you go downtown, it's been done to a great extent, and they look amazing. But eventually, you're going to run out of people that need. If you make every office building that is getting empty, that has empty space, and you turn that all into residential or hotels, eventually you're going to have too much space. So, yeah, that's a great idea, but you need something more than that. There's a lot of empty office space, and that was going into the pandemic. Now coming out, when you have places like Fidelis, Highmark, saying, hey, you can work from home to most of the employees. Geico. Brian, Geico has two big buildings right down the street and no plans to return their employees to the office. So we're talking about
a huge amount of space.
Yeah, we're talking about a lot of empty office space.
There's a church right next door. If you want to do the wedding venue thing, you're right there.
That's right. I mean,
you don't have to change parking lots. You can just walk over,
which is great for everybody.
I know.
Yeah.
But I like that. Is there a more overused term than mixed use?
No.
It's like you go past anything that's being built and someone in the car will undoubtedly go, oh, what do you know what that's going to be? And I just say every time, oh, probably mixed use.
Yeah. Always.
That's
always.
What they always say.
Yep. I mean, hey, what are they doing to every mall that they're going to redo? Oh, we're going to reformat this. Mixed use.
Mixed use.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? Well, it's just we're mixing all the uses.
Right.
We're going to put it in there.
It's going to have a lot of different things.
We're not going to put ourselves in a corner, right? Mixed use.
That's right. It's easy zoning if you say mixed use.
It'll all be one thing, but for right now, mixed use, we're going to say. It's going to be the best idea.
But, you know, I think of what about the people that are mid-construction, right? Or something that they had put the money into and they started in 2019. Because, Brian, if you look around, you have office buildings that have just been built. Mixed use. You have the apartment buildings that have offices at the bottom of it. And now you have people leaving the office.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have these buildings. There's one on Transit going up right now. These buildings that are being under construction for office space.
It's one across from us.
That's right.
Right now, the old McGregor's, Friendly's, Ponderosa Hooters.
Yeah.
It's going to be something.
Which, that mega restaurant?
Just put it all together?
Yeah.
That would be great. McGregor's, Hooters, Ponderosa Friendly's. You got a
you
bar,
satisfy everyone.
Ice cream, buffet,
yes.
And wings, and, you know, whatever else comes with all that. But what would you do? Someone's saying indoor farming. And with marijuana about to be legalized, you're going to need some more indoor farms.
Yes.
So there you go. There's number two, indoor farming. You are the star of the show. We're calling it Office Brothers.
You can't call it Office Space.
No, you could, actually. And people would forget. That's actually perfect, Joe. People who like the movie would think that they're tuning into the movie.
Right.
But they're not. And that's how you get them hooked. Oh, Office Space is on. Click. Oh, it's not this, but I'm too lazy to change the channel.
That's not Bill Lumberg.
That's you're the executive producer of Office Space. What are you reusing the Office Space for? What's your big transformation project? 803-0930, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN.
It's BMAZ and Beamer. Now, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey, welcome back. BMAZ and Beamer back together on this Tuesday, July 5th. Hope everyone had a great weekend, enjoyed some of the weather, maybe enjoyed some music. over the weekend as well. However you enjoyed it, glad to have you back here on a Tuesday. A short week for all, shorter for others. And we've been talking about another thing that's decreasing, not only the days of the week, but people in the office and office buildings and office spaces around Western New York. More and more, Brian, you see this offices saying, we've got the space, you know, we're trying to sublet it, but we still have a floor that's completely empty. And the next question is, well, now that we're refitting malls and all the shopping spaces with different things to do, what are we going to do with the empty office space around Western New York?
It is interesting, some of these places that are like subleasing out their space when you're, you know, say you're looking for office space and you go to one of these spaces. And I can't imagine the conversation where you're talking, you know, to somebody, oh, you know, why are you moving out of this space? Well, you know, it turns out we don't really need to work in an office. We don't need all the space. And like the person who's looking at the office going, oh, well, maybe we don't need it either.
Maybe I should discuss this first.
Maybe, then why am I here?
Right.
If you don't need this. No, it's very interesting. You have some places that are all the way back in the office, and now they're able to move into, you know, better spaces.
Right.
You know, maybe it's a slightly bigger space. Maybe it's a place that you were in, you know, some, I don't know, some place a little more of a remote area. You're able to move closer to downtown. You're able to do this. So it's great for people who actually do want to be back in the office. But, I mean, for so many of these places, you're going to have to find some other sort of use for this office space.
Right.
Unless we're totally misreading the situation and what we're seeing in place or around here where we are in terms of cars that are in the parking lot is out of the norm, but I don't think so.
No.
It sounds like you're going to have to find a way to kind of, I don't know, come up with a better use for this office space.
Yeah. I mean, obviously before the, before 2020, you know, there's a lot of offices here. There was the we would leave. When we got here, Brian, there weren't many cars. But when we would leave, the parking lot would be packed. We have not had that day in 2 years. That has not happened in 2 years with this office complex. So it begs the question, you know, more and more people, I'm not going to say are working home, maybe working a hybrid schedule. And that's another reason for less office space. Well, I only have my employees coming in 2 or 3 days a week, and, you know, they're not, the two schedules aren't running into each other. Why do I need all this office space? Because if we know one thing, people aren't going to pay for space that they're not going to use. It'll be very interesting. Like I said, you can't make everything residential. You can't make everything a hotel. There needs to be other ideas out there. And we have some amazing developers here in Western New York, Doug Jamal, Rocco Termini. So there are people here that have that mindset. It's just going to be interesting what different ideas we run into, because you can drive down Maple Road here in Amherst and find a lot of empty office space.
And there is a lot of ingenuity going on, right, when it comes to using certain spaces a little bit differently. Like, look at down Chandler Street. Some of what's been built there, you know, event space, a little bar and restaurant. And I mean, who would have thought a pool in that area would ever survive?
A day club.
Not me.
Right.
Right. I mean, I certainly would not have the vision or the idea to do something like that. So come on, someone with vision. You're the executive producer of the hit new show, Redesigning Office. What do you make the office into if you're watching that show, which I do think someone should get on, by the way?
I'm actually surprised that HGTV has not brought that on yet.
I mean, come on, your office space. A lot of the office space can probably, you look at Seneca Tower, actually probably can be turned into apartments and things like that.
It sure can. But eventually you're going to run out of people that want to live in an apartment. Because not only will you refit the office buildings, you have a ton of apartment buildings going up around Western New York. You know, I can think of three places right now where you have these huge complexes being built.
Would you ever like to, in Denver, a buddy who lives out in Denver, and one of his old apartments was basically a stone's throw from where he worked. So they had like their big tech hub. And, you know, right in that same area, they had, you know, apartments. And there's some other things like little restaurants kind of in the area. But he basically lived right where he worked for a long period of time where he it's like a 5-minute walk and you're right there in the office. What if some places did that? And you know, Seneca Tower is probably the best example of this, where you have a lot of office space and also right in the same building. I mean, you wouldn't even have to leave the building.
Right.
You know, your shorts and a t-shirt.
Take the elevator to work.
Yeah, take the elevator to work. That kind of thing. Would you like to, you know, say this place. I mean, this is actually kind of a perfect example. Because I could see this being, you know, in our studios here in Amherst, being a somewhat desirable place to live. If they, you know, made some apartments out of some of the unused office space.
Oh, yeah.
I can think of. But we still worked here. Would you like that?
Yes.
You would?
Yes, I would be all for that. If Odyssey tomorrow announced that they were moving into the first floor of the building I live in now, I would be probably the happiest of anyone.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know. I would go back and forth. That idea of, I mean, literally living when you where you work. And I'm not talking about the home office, because that's a totally different thing.
Right.
In its entirety.
Even your actual office. Being in or in the same building or near where you work.
In without having to go on a road,
yes,
basically, is what I'm talking
love that.
About. In the same complex, you could drive within a parking lot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's on the same little outlet. But you're basically living right next to where you work, like if you would like that. Now, I think for me, it's a little... It's always hard to answer these questions when you're asking normal people. Given the time that we get into work, right?
Right.
Because if I'm looking at this, I'd say, well, anything that gives me an extra 20 minutes of sleep.
I was thinking the same thing.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, that pushes it over the edge. So for me, instead of waking up at 3, whatever, you know, maybe you can push it. I can wake up at 4, basically roll into the office or something right. like that. You know, wake up and, you know, it's that quick little ride. Or maybe you keep the same thing and I have time. Early in the morning to, I don't know, grab a snack or a bagel. Or I don't know, are places even open now that early in the morning?
No. We go on the air when most breakfast places open. So
there would be that to it. But if I didn't work super early in the morning, I don't know if I'd like. I kind of like having. I think Buffalo has the perfect commute for most people. You know, assuming you don't live... you know, in North Tonawanda and work in Hamburg or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a little...
Like, but for most people, I think generally, like, you have the perfect commute. And I do like a little bit of commute. Like, I do like a little bit of that period of... I think I might have talked about this a couple of years ago when I came back. You know, you're working from home all the time. There is something to... All right, you're done with work. And... Work is not always, you know, peaches and rainbows. It's sometimes a little grating. And sometimes it's nice to have just that cool down period. Maybe you're listening to some music, you listen to a show, you're listening to us, you're doing something like that, but you're driving around and you have that period to just like kind of, you go from work mode to home mode while you're on the road. And I think there is something to have that, where if I lived and worked in the same space, you know, if they all of a sudden turned some of this unused office space into apartments and you were able to move right here and just within the same building, roll out of bed, not put a winter coat on, not scrape off the car, you know, you get all those really nice things in the winter. I still think I'd like a little bit more separation.
Yeah, you know, you bring that up because I love the time in the car. You're right. It's the cool down, especially on a bad day. And it could be the other way around. Maybe you had a bad day, something happened, and you need that. You need just to, you know, have some time to yourself on the drive into work, right? It is nice to have that cool down period because, Brian, no one likes someone that brings all their, you know, no one wants to bring all their work problems home, right? I mean, obviously, people want to leave work at work and not bring home. And that car ride gives you that moment to just get it all out. And then you get home and you're in a great mood.
Okay, it's not always 100% necessary, but I just think it's nice to have a little cool down period.
Yeah.
And so, like, get your mind straight. Like, what am I supposed to do when I get home? Like, what am I, you know, what do I have to do with the rest of my day? Like, there is that kind of thing that it's like that self reflection that you have in the car on the way home. See,
but you say that, I say that, and I can still think if they turn this in and Odyssey stayed right here and we could walk to work and they built apartments, they put a gym in, they had a bar, a restaurant, I couldn't think of a better place to live.
See, so I wouldn't like it.
I say one thing, and I'm like, I can get all that stuff under one roof.
Would you ever leave? Like, that's a problem. Then would you just, like, stay in this one little corner?
I'd go on vacation.
to
Taco Bell.
I was going to say, like, to downtown or to West Seneca or something.
I get out and about to more places than just the gym and a restaurant.
I know, but if you didn't have to, I could see you totally hermiting into this little area.
I wouldn't miss sporting events.
Those would be your little jaunts outside into the real world.
I'd still go to Blacksburg.
It would be like living in the Truman Show.
Yeah.
You're just on your little thing.
At least you know it.
Yeah, you're just aware.
Yeah.
And there's even more cameras because it's 2022.
That's right, yeah.
So you're always doing that kind of thing.
I think of the empty space that's right under us, I would, if that opened up, if they built that into a living, two bedrooms, a big, two bathrooms. Oh my gosh, I'd be there tomorrow.
What do you think about this comment that just came in on the text board? Could you ever call in sick with somebody just come knocking on your door if you lived in the same place that you worked?
In normal,
you call in sick, and then you take the elevator down. You just happen to step in with one of your coworkers, like, hey,
I was getting medicine at the pharmacy they put in the same building.
But there's that to it too. I like what somebody else said, affordable apartments, not low income, but affordable for 20-ish year olds. I mean, that's a big complaint, right? Rent is just it's so high that it's tough to, you're just out of college, it's tough to afford a place. I think what this person is describing is a dorm.
Yeah.
Well, that's an affordable apartment for a 20-year-old.
To quote a former gubernatorial candidate, the rent is too damn high. And, you have these controlled rent right down the street, controlled rent for students buildings. But what about having something like that? Again, not low income, but controlled for people that are just out of college. Because you're seeing a lot more people get out of college. And where are they going? They're going home. Because now they're out of college, they don't have that big paying job, and they're in tons of debt.
Yeah, a couple of interesting ideas. We'll go to Mary. Mary's on WBEN. All right, Mary, what do you think? You have a big old office space, and you have a reality show where you get to do whatever you want with it. What are you turning it into?
I just wanted to comment on what you said. You're mentioning, unless I misheard, you're mentioning the developers and everything, and I don't think you mentioned Ellicott Development.
Well, we haven't mentioned any developers.
Ellicott Development is definitely right up there as well. Yeah, they put the Mosey building on Main Street. Stayed there during COVID.
So there you go. I mean, yeah. People are thinking of new-ish things to do.
Right.
A lot of that got sidetracked, though. I mean, think about what was going to be a perfect example of this, right? The Riverworks project.
That's right.
That is something I'm still amazed thinking about that as somebody who's lived in Western New York my entire life, because there's something that sounded outlandish. Like, here we are. It's just this old, factory. It's this old slab. And here's somebody, all right, we're going to turn it into, we're going to have hockey rinks here. We're going to have a place for concerts. It's going to be a big bar and restaurant and an attraction. And we're going to do a million things in here. And I think anybody would have said, yeah, okay. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Oh, you're going to use the grain silos as, like a brewery or something like that. Yeah, okay. That's a nice plan. Good vision. And it opened within like 6 months.
Right.
Not everything was in place immediately, but it was open like that before you could even take a look at all the list that they wanted to do with that. And it was amazing. And to my mind, it's one of the only, like, that Harbor Center was another one that was like, all right, we're going to do this. Here's what we're going to do. And then they did it.
Right.
And it was there.
Yep.
But those two projects, which happened pretty close in time to it, I mean, it was both about 10 years ago almost when these things got off the ground, 7 years ago or so. I was amazed. Here's a vision that very few people would have of something to do, and they actually got it done. You think of next to Riverworks, that was going to happen. You look back at 2019, what were the plans? A Topgolf-style entertainment venue with the restaurant, also a hotel, with parking underneath. And it's like a arcade-style driving range was going to be in that same area. Then There was also plans for a new soccer stadium, a smaller stadium-sized venue, you know, maybe like a 20,000 or 15 to 20,000 seat venue that could do some concerts of that size, could also host soccer games, and we'll bring another team here to buy. And that was all going to be kind of in that general area. And then, you know, this virus happened, and it seems like all these plans kind of went nowhere.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you probably have that in every city, Brian, where plans have been sidetracked, and now it's a big question mark if all of them will actually happen.
So here's the question, though. All right, that's not happening as originally plotted out.
Right.
But as we're having this conversation, you have so many new spaces that might suddenly be available.
Right.
New real estate, whether you use the existing building or not. I mean, doesn't it provide more opportunity to put that kind of you know, effort forward when you have potentially, you know, oh, we had to build it here as originally planned. But now, you know, I don't know. I'm looking here. I'm looking in Amherst. I'm looking over in Buffalo with some unused office space. Maybe we can move this around, get a little creative.
There's potentially a lot of empty space opening up month by month as leases are coming to an end, Brian. There is more and more space opening up in Western New York.
I like, here's my other idea for Dad Olympics. Sorry to get sidetracked, but I was just thinking about that. So we have our couple of big, you know, tentpole events, the hot dog peeling competition.
I think that would be the big one.
You take it off the grill and you have to peel the skin off and cut it up as many as you can, like 5 minutes. And that's number one. You have, I liked in the pool with a 30-ish pound kid. How many times can you throw him up and catch him in the pool without stopping? No right. Breaks or whatever. You have to just like one motion, just up and down, up and down, up and down. How many times can you do that before you just give up and quit? Someone chimed in, sunscreen application. Like that one. How about this? Getting out of the house. This was me yesterday. I'm now in the phase where it takes forever just to get out of the house.
Yeah.
It's like a 30-minute process now. It's put on shoes. No, I don't want these shoes. I got to get these shoes. And then, you know, chasing around to get to the spot where we're supposed to put on our shoes. And this and that. And, you know, trying to get... It's just this whole process. Getting out of the house on a timer. All right. You have someone, a kid on the couch. No shoes on. No anything like that. You have to turn a TV off. Put some shoes on. Get everything you need to get. Time it. Out the door, in the car. What do you do? I mean, that could be event number four.
Everyone given the same scenario to get out of the house.
And you are timed by when you back up out of the driveway. When all four wheels are in the street.
Right. Yeah.
That's when, all right, you're good.
I think you got the fourth one.
I like blowing up inflatables like a beach ball.
Ah, yes.
I like that. I'm pretty good at it, I have to say. I don't know, like lung capacity or what that, but I can do a pretty good just without like turning blue in the face.
I think that has a lot to say about your lung capacity, yeah.
It's pretty good. Or maybe I just haven't tried to do something like big enough. They also make the little thing better. Because if it's too small, the little thing that you blow in to blow up
it's
these inflatables. Yeah, and you just end up like, that's when you really turn red or blue in the face.
Because you're losing a lot of air for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that. All right, so blowing up inflatables, getting out of the house, peeling the hot dog, throwing up and down, sunscreen.
We've got four.
There you go.
Medaled events.
And then, you know, the grand finale is cutting the grass. But actually cutting, not a lawnmower race.
Right. No, no.
A grass cutting race.
Yes. A real lawnmower.
Not trim. You have to trim it too.
Yes.
No like stray strands here or there. You
time
have to
deducted.
Do the whole thing.
Time deducted. Right. By the way, before we get out of here, I have to say, I'm surprised you didn't bring this up. I saw the Backstreet Boys over the weekend, and great show. They still got it. And lots of space to dance around. Really enjoyed it. And just wanted to, I was talking about it on Friday, just wanted to bookend it.
I'm sure, you know, I would normally make fun of you, but there might not actually be like anything more American than seeing the Backstreet Boys on the 4th of July.
There it is, right? Right?
Right? It's just like the all-American dream.
And I have to say, my wife reminded me that on our first date, I danced to that song at the bar. We had our first date and then showed her a video of me dancing to that at prom. And she still wanted to go on a second date. And then Sunday, she filmed me dancing at the concert. So I'm a lucky guy.
Yeah. All right. We got David coming up next after the news break. You've been listening to B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN.